Turn to the scripture in Matthew chapter 10. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And it goes on to the next one. But whoever does not acknowledge me, I will not acknowledge them. So my friends, baptism in a sense is a way of acknowledging the Father to others, to the public, to the heavenlies. And so he remembered that and he thought, I want my Father in heaven to acknowledge me. I want Jesus to acknowledge me before the Father in heaven. So he said, yes, I am baptized and I am a Christian. They gave him 3 days to renounce his faith. And then they would target him. They released him, go home. His parents knew that he was going to be a target, so they kicked him out of the house. And eventually he escaped the United States and became a missionary to the Muslims. That's the fast track. So why is it so important to them that you become baptized? Because it's at the moment of baptism that you actually are now making a full 100% commitment. And in their eyes, you have now betrayed Allah, Muhammad, and you are now becoming an enemy of Islam. That's why. When you be baptized, you become an enemy of Satan. True? So, I want to use scriptures in the Old Testament to illustrate a little bit what baptism is. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Says, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors, that's the Hebrews, were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So Moses, as you remember, has been called by God to lead the Hebrews, the slaves, into the promised land. They come to the Red Sea and there is no choice. Either you go through the sea or you're killed by the army of Egypt. And so they need a miracle. And the miracle comes because God opens the sea. And they walk on dry ground. When they come on the other side, God says to Moses, stretch out your arm. And as you stretch out your arm, the entire Egyptian army who is pursuing them is drowned. Now, this is a picture of baptism. In a sense that here is the old tormentors, those who slave drive them, those who told them for 400 years you are nothing but slaves and tools for Pharaoh to build his kingdom. You are useless. You are just slaves. When this happened, the past was drowned. The past voices who told them that they were slaves and useless and sinners and nothing was drowned in the sea. And there's a picture, my friends, of when you get baptized, your past sins, your past tormentors, your past sin and guilt is drowned in that water as you go through the baptism. How many says, amen. So let's just, what stood out to me when I read this was they were baptized into what? Moses. Moses is a type of redeemer and deliverer. He's not God, but he was sent by God and he's used by God to lead them. And when they're baptized into Moses, they're baptized in to follow Moses through the desert. And what's happening in the desert is God is trying to form them into a holy nation and a royal priesthood. It takes 2 generations for that to take place. But they made a commitment. When you're baptized, you make a commitment to follow. There's a commitment to follow Moses. Let's go back. Let's go forward 1,000 years. And let's see Jesus coming to the Jordan River. And John the Baptist is baptizing people all over. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus comes and he says, baptize me. And John the Baptist says, no. You baptize me, I'm not worthy to baptize you. And Jesus says, no, this is the God's will for me to be baptized by you. That's my own words. He said, Jesus replied, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Let's read verse 16 together. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Let's go to the next part. Jesus was baptized. Was he a sinner? No. Did he need to repent? No. So why was he baptized? Let me just say this before we go to the next step of this. When you are in Christ, whatever the Father says to his Son, he also says to you. So in John 17, just go back there. He says, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Do you know what Jesus is saying there? That as the Father has loved Jesus, he's loving who? He's loving you. As the Father has loved Jesus, he is loving you. So when he says, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased with, he gets what he's saying to you. You're my daughter. You're my son whom I'm well pleased with. So here is the answer. Why was Jesus baptized when he did not really need to repent? Number one, I believe he had emptied himself to become fully a man. And he made an illustration of what we needed to do. He showed us what we needed to do as human beings. And we need to be baptized. So I give an illustration. But there is another reason. And that is, I believe, that Jesus baptized himself into the Father. Now there's no particular scripture that says that. But if you look at the illustration, they were baptized into Moses and they followed Moses. What did Jesus do when he was baptized and came out of the water? He followed the voice of the Father. He says in John chapter 5, he says, I can do nothing on my own. Remember? Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father. He says, my words are not my own, they are my Father's. He actually is declaring that after this baptism, he is an instrument of the Father. His ministry, his teaching, his preaching, his healing of the sick, his deliverance, his calming the storms, his providing for the hungry and the thirsty was really the work of the Father. And he did it because he partnered with the Father. So his baptism was really an illustration of a commitment to God the Father. And when he came to the cross, he was fully human, but he was also divine. How many believe that when the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, he became codependent on the Holy Spirit to lead him and guide him? And he's doing that because we too become codependent. Not codependent. Sorry, that's the wrong word. Interdependent. That's what I meant. Interdependent on God. Not codependent, but interdependent on God. How many believe that you can be interdependent on the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit can guide and lead you through the desert. So the Father led Jesus to the cross. And what did he do at the cross? What did he do at the cross? He died. He took our sins. He took our shame and our guilt. He took death itself. And he rose again that we can have a new life. And then he told the disciples this. He said, all authority has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them my commandments, and I'll be with you to the ends of the world. But when they actually practice the baptism, they baptize people into Jesus. You need to follow me for the next few minutes, okay? So when Peter preached his first sermon, he says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit will come on you, those who are near you and those who are far away. So he says, so they actually, and he baptized how many people? 3,000. When you go through the Acts, whenever they baptize in the name of Jesus. Now, because of the Trinity, when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you're also baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? So, but be with me for a minute, okay? Be with me. In Acts chapter 19, too, they are baptized into Jesus. They come upon these people and they ask them, whose baptism have you had? And he said, John's baptism. And then they re-baptize them into the name of Jesus. So let's go back. In Exodus, they were baptized into Moses. We have Jesus who is declaring his allegiance to the Father. Now you're baptized into Jesus. Who are you going to follow? Jesus. When you're baptized into Jesus, you're following Jesus. Where are you going? Where are you going? So in Colossians chapter 2. When you're dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood us against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He took our shame, he took our guilt, he took our fallenness, and he nailed it to the cross. And he went into the grave, and he rose again, and he overcame the devil, the grave, the death, and the past. And what are you saying to you and I? He's saying, go to the cross. Go to the cross. Paul says it like this in Galatians 2:20. I have been what? Crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My friends, where if you want to be baptized, you go to the cross. And at the cross, my friends, you don't lay down your sin. You don't lay down your past, but you lay down your will. When Jesus came into this world, he gave us an example of being what it means to be baptized. He gave us an example of what it means to follow his Father. He's saying, I can do nothing. I can do nothing except for what I see the Father do. He wasn't asking the Father to show him. He was simply opening his eyes and says, whatever the Father was doing, I'm going to partner with. When you come to the cross, you're laying down your everything. I'm going to say that again. When you come to the cross, you lay down everything. You lay down your life. I started with a sermon with telling you about the story of Abu when he said, I am being baptized. He knew that he might very well lay down his physical life. Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. If you're willing to give up yourself for me, you can find life. But if you want to hang on to life, you would lose it. Jesus went. It says in Philippians chapter 2 that he humbled himself unto what? Unto the obedience of death, even unto the cross. It wasn't just death, it was unto the cross. There is a radical step of obedience that we see done in Jesus. And he's asking you and me to be equally radical in our obedience and commitment to him. So when he leads you and you say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, he will always lead you to the cross first. Because that's where you deal with your past. That's where you deal with your past voices. That's where you deal with the past enemy. That's where you deal with the things that have brought you shame and have brought you guilt. And he said, I have paid the price. I have bought you at a price. My blood has been shed for you, that you can be cleansed and go free. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far your sin is. And then he rises again, my friends. And when he rises again, he said, come with me to a brand new life. The old is gone, the new has come. You are now a new creation. And he doesn't leave you there. See, when Moses was asked to lead, he wasn't leading by himself. He was leading, following God. When Jesus was walking on this earth, he was following the leading of his Father. When you and I walk following Jesus, we're not doing it on our own. He has actually given us the promise of the Holy Spirit to be in us, so we can actually do this. I believe part of being baptized isn't just an illustration. I believe that God is committed to you to help you walk this walk, following Jesus through the wilderness. Amen. Now in Romans 6, let's just turn to Romans 6. You are therefore buried with him through baptism. We go in the water. We die to self. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you too may live a new life. The new life come when you're raised up and you're resurrected from the dead. That is not physical. That is spiritual. That resurrection comes because you're willing to lay down your life to follow Jesus. What stuck out to me when I was meditating on this was, but Jesus says, God is always at work, and I can only do what I see the Father do. So part of surrendering your will, part of surrendering everything, is also looking to see what the Father is doing. Because when you lay down your will, he's asking you to partner with him. And he's asking you to partner with him, whatever he's doing. How many are ready to partner with God? My friends, baptism is something God called us to. It's not just some nice water, but it's a commitment to God. Now, it's like a marriage. The wedding itself does not create love. The love happens before. It happens in the hearts of those two people who make that commitment. The same thing with being baptized. It is true that God has done something in their hearts before they get baptized. And they really go into the waters, showing them there what Jesus has already done in them. Are you with me? But their level of victory depends very much on how they are willing to put everything on that altar and following Jesus. What does it say here? When you're buried with him through baptism, I lay down my life. I lay down my life. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in him who laid down, who loves me and laid down his life for me. So, Jesus, I know I want to follow you. And I especially want to follow you in a time of crisis when this world is lost. There's nothing that is firm except for your word, God. And so, Lord, I pray as a church, Lord, we'll make a commitment to follow you. So I'm always looking to see if there's a response, okay? How many here would say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to lay down my life for him. No man. Thank you, Jesus. So can we pray together? Okay. Dear Jesus, we are following you. Teach us what that means. Give us the faith to open our eyes to see what you're doing, Lord, that we may partner with you. Lord, remember our baptism, God. We made a commitment many years ago, some of us, but may that become fresh again. May we recommit our life to you, Jesus, today. And we are. We're saying yes to you, Jesus. We're saying yes to you, Jesus. We say we want to follow you. In a time of crisis and difficulty in this world, we want to open our eyes and say yes to you, Jesus. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You're the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning. You are the end, God. You are my Redeemer. You're my Savior. You're my friend. You are my God. You are my God Almighty. Jesus, today we want to follow you. And God, we declare to you, we don't always know what that looks like or how to do it. But you have told us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So Jesus, help us. Show us the way, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Now comes the exciting part.